is a pleasure to welcome you to this initial broadcast of something that's going to be a regular feature on this station Sunday nights for your healing. Cradle My Heart Radio is a result of a ministry that God has given me based on my personal experience and my faith after abortion in my life. And I want to say that right away just to set the stage so you know that I do understand what it's like to personally experience the pain of child loss through abortion. And I want to offer you a place to discuss that issue every week on Sunday evenings in a safe way. It's not a well-understood issue. It's a very isolating issue. And it's a problem that is common, although no one really wants to admit to having experienced it. I don't speak for everyone, so I shouldn't say no one. And my experience may be very, very different from what you've experienced. But I want you to know that here, in this place, our purpose is that you would find God's love after abortion. Every week we're going to bring you a guest who's familiar with the problems that abortion raises in the lives of women. And I'm very pleased about our initial guest tonight, Cecil Stokes. Cecil founded Tent Makers Entertainment in 1999, and this company has executive produced or produced more than 1,250 television shows, everyone from A&E, Court TV, ESPN, HGTV, History Channel, and more. All of these outlets have aired Tent Maker Entertainment productions. They've won Cable Ace, Communicator, New York Film Festival, Heartland Film Festival, Telly Awards, and an Emmy. They've also won, I'm not sure that A Man Named Pearl was included in that list, but I know that's another award-winning film that Cecil Stokes lists as part of his credits, and he's producer and writer of the hit film October Baby. So let's welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio, Cecil Stokes. Cecil, thanks for joining us tonight.
I can't tell you how happy I am to be here.
October Baby is releasing on DVD this Tuesday, and I know there are so many people who are excited to be able to watch the movie if they haven't seen it yet. Why don't you set the stage for us in terms of what the movie's about? Maybe give us the plot summary, if you will.
Okay. October Baby is about a college freshman named Hannah who finds out that not only was she adopted, but she was the survivor of a failed abortion. And it sends her on a search to find her biological mother and ultimately a search for forgiveness.
So how did you become embroiled in a pro-life, pro-choice, pro-abortion controversy as a result of a film with a pretty simple plot line there that doesn't sound like it involves politics or anything close to it?
Well, I think you know you can't say the word abortion without becoming embroiled in the politics of it. It's one of those subjects that everyone thinks they have their mind made up sometimes without listening. So even though it wasn't our goal to make a pro-life film or a post-abortive woman film, none of those things were our goal. We wanted to tell a story that we don't think has ever been told. But people rise up in the audiences and blogs and newspapers and radios, and they help you and they criticize you.
Hmm. So how? Tell me about the inspiration for the film.
This will be my longest story I tell tonight, so bear with me.
That's good. We've got time.
One of the directors, John Irwin, is one of the directors of the film. He and I were doing a pilot for a TV show. And on the very last day of shooting the pilot, we found out from the network they had lost their funding for their programming that year, and the pilot would not be picked up. And we had fallen in love with four or five actors on that pilot and just wanted to work with them again dearly. We had just become a family in 2 weeks. So he and I set a day aside the very next day to just have a creative day to figure out a project that we could do with some of these same actors. And we were sitting in his office and just kind of spitballing back and forth different ideas that we had had in the past. And at one point, John said, I've always wanted to do a film called October Baby. And I said, that's great. You know, what's it about? And John says, I have no idea. I just have the title. And we laughed, and I pulled out my laptop, and I said, well, you know, if it's called October Baby, it must be about a child that doesn't receive a name at birth. So there was something traumatic must have happened. She must have been abandoned. She must have been, she could have been orphaned. Something happened that did not give her a name at birth. And I typed in to Google, child with no name. And the first thing that popped up was abortion survivor. And John and I just stared at each other because we didn't know those two words ever fit together. And then we both typed in abortion survivor and started reading blogs and hearing stories about women who had survived failed abortion attempts. And we just knew at that moment, this is the story to tell. And we crafted a story based on about interviewing maybe 20 different women who had survived failed abortions, as well as post-abortive women, doctors, nurses, and created this story using those main actors that we had fallen in love with on that pilot. For me, it was just a beautiful way of how God weaves our tapestries together, and sometimes we don't see it until a later time. It was just amazing, and what a great ride we've all had.
So you weren't really aware of the central theme of the film, that there are, in fact, people who are walking around who have survived an abortion attempt on their lives when they were young.
I mean, no, that John and I both had interest in the topic of abortion. Even when I was in high school on the debate team, it was one of my favorite topics. But when you're in high school, you know nothing about, you know, debating a subject like abortion, but you think you do. So it had been an issue that I thought I understood and was close to my heart, but I knew nothing about it, knew nothing about a possible survivor of a failed attempt, and had really never, to my knowledge, talked to a woman who had an abortion. So we had no knowledge, and that's why we wanted to interview so many people to be able to tell their stories accurately, and that's also why we brought in Teresa Preston as one of the writers, because it was just so valuable to us to have that female perspective. And we had lunches with so many different women, and just did so much research before we ever wrote the first word of the script.
I've read a little bit about that. Forgive me for interrupting you. Tell me about the research. I mean, you met people with some extraordinary stories, and as I was telling someone that that this interview was coming up, and they had not seen the movie, and so I was giving them my thumbnail plot, or plot thumbnail, and I talked about surviving a late term abortion, and they're like, oh well, you know, that doesn't happen. it's kind of an incredible premise, literally incredible. I mean, people find themselves saying that can't happen. It doesn't happen. But in fact, you found a number of people whose stories are somewhat represented in the film.
We did. And I love the fact that we were able to not only meet with them, but have our lives intertwined. You know, one of the women, the very first woman that I actually had lunch with who had survived an abortion attempt, we're still Facebook friends, and when I'm in her town, we have game night with a bunch of our mutual friends, and our stories are now all intertwined. And it helps because when I was at we had about 75 different showings of the movie before it opened, just to get churches and crisis pregnancy centers and different people in different communities excited, and having seen the movie could then become a grassroots effort for us. And I remember at one of the showings, one of the previews before it opened, we always open it up for comments or questions and answer at the end. And one woman was pretty upset and stood up and said, you know, you're telling a story that's not possible. You know, I've worked in abortion clinics before, and babies don't survive these attempts. And I looked at her and I said, well, I've had lunch with one who did, I've interviewed dozens who have, and maybe you did not experience that, but I've touched the hands of people who have. So once you meet those people, once they become part of your life, it becomes part of your story too. I don't think this storyline will ever not matter to me again.
Hmm. And what's extraordinary to me as a woman who has lost a child to abortion is that there's also that aspect of the story portrayed in the film as well. with a pretty amazing story about what was going on in real life with the actress Sherry Rigby, who plays the birth mother. So tell us a little bit about that.
In the at the credits of the film, we play an interview that we did with Sherry Rigby, who plays the birth mother. It was interesting. When we were writing the film, we were writing roles for the actors that we knew, and we were writing scenes in locations that we had. You know, we were doing things because we knew it would be a pretty limited budget. And we were kind of putting different puzzle pieces together. And when we went to cast Hannah's birth mother, John and Andy, who were the directors, had done, I think, a Casting Crowns music video with Sherry. And she was able to cry very easily, which was something we knew we would need in this role. And she did bear a resemblance to our main actress, Rachel, who plays Hannah. And John contacted Sherry and sent the script to her. And that's my viewpoint and John's viewpoint going into the story. And then I'll pick up telling part of Sherry's story. But Sherry then called John. And as she's recounted the story to me and she recounts in the film, I think she was in the bathtub reading the script the night that she got it and was overcome because the story mirrored what had happened in her life so well. In the movie, her character has had an abortion and become a lawyer. And Sherry's story, she was actually working in a law firm when she was very young and became pregnant and decided to have an abortion. And she couldn't believe how much the story mirrored her true story that we did not know. And it was just an amazing experience for her. And for those of you who have seen the movie, when we were shooting the scene of Sherry coming to terms with Sherry's character, coming to terms with what she had done, Sherry herself has said, "I wasn't acting." She slides down the door in her character's office and is, her entire body is shaking and she's crying because she has been forgiven by the daughter that she tried to abort. And Sherry tells the story so beautiful that was her moment of what started in the bathtub of God saying, "I'm bringing this out of your past, and it's part of your present and will be part of your future." And she says in that moment when she slid down the door crying that she wasn't acting, but that was her moment when God said, "You are forgiven," to her. And it was just a powerful moment in the film. It's powerful to hear her tell her story. But it was also one of those experiences in my life, in John's life, in the entire crew's life, that we saw what was happening. And just from our perspective, you know, there's a lot of men on the crew. There's a lot of men in this surrounding this scene with her. And when we had the shot that we knew we needed for the script, our wardrobe designer, Anna, who's just a beautiful soul herself, immediately came in and sat down on the floor and just held Sherry. And everyone else just vacated the room and just allowed them to stand there as long as they needed to for Sherry to continue her process of healing and forgiveness. So it was just incredible that something like that could even happen on a film set. And it gives so much truth and backstory to this movie.
And Cecil Stokes is our guest. He's producer and writer of the acclaimed feature film October Baby. We're going to continue after a short break, and I want to talk a little bit about how God may be saying to you tonight, "I'm bringing this out of your past." Because when we start talking about abortion, it's a difficult thing. I do invite you to join our conversation, though, and the phone lines are open at 1-800-811-3003. That's 1-800-811-3003. There's no need to give your name if you want to just call yourself listener or be anonymous. That's okay. But please do join us. We'd love to hear your story. We'd love to help you with your questions. And we do, thanks to Cecil Stokes and October Baby, we do have two complimentary copies that have been donated. And so for our first caller with a question or comment for Cecil Stokes, we will have a copy of the DVD, which is not even being released until next week. Short break, and we'll be back. 1-800-811-3003 with Cecil Stokes here on Cradle My Heart.
Of this life, all your mercies in disguise.
You know, with the Lord's help, nothing's too late. You know, he's great at resurrecting things from the dead.
Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio.
And I'm Neil Statham. Now, growing spiritually doesn't happen without intention. And that's why the programming on Faith Radio is so valuable. Your support makes the relevant Bible preaching and the family-focused teaching possible for all of us across the Upper Midwest.
This resource is available to you because of listener support. 2,100 people giving $24 a month as an ongoing pledge will cover all of the listener support costs for the coming 12 months. Can we count on you?
Our fall fundraiser is coming next week, and your single gift or an ongoing monthly pledge will keep Faith Radio going and help you and many others grow in their faith.
I do hope you'll begin praying even now for Faith Radio and our fall fundraiser. We know that every day people find answers to their deepest questions and needs through something they hear on a program or in an interview. And the truth is, you make it possible.
Remember, Tuesday, September 11th, the Faith Radio Fall Share event begins. Thanks for your partnership. God bless you.
Connecting your faith with everyday life. This is Faith 900, KTIS.
Join the conversation. Call toll-free, 800-811-3003.
I'm Hannah. This is my story. And it's not what you think. Well, 3 weeks ago, I found out that my entire life is a lie. So I went on a trip.
One tear in the dropping rain.
This is my only chance to find out who I really am.
I just wanted you to know, I think it's really brave what you're doing.
If you find your mother, what will you say? I'm just curious.
I don't know.
Dude. Her dad's gonna kill you, man.
Mr. Lawson,
I said, stay out of it.
Hey, Jason, why have you always been there for me? I know where your birth mother is.
You have the power to forgive, to choose to forgive.
Cecil Stokes is the producer of October Baby, and that was a clip from the trailer. I'm Kim Catola, and you're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio. And Cecil, it's an inspiring movie. Tell me just a little bit about how this film did in the theaters, because, reading the reviews was kind of an interesting experience. some friendly, some not so. But now that as you're, and I'm going to give you the chance to talk about that too, because I'm sure it's a testimony. But talk about how people responded to this film in theaters.
I'll go with the statistics first.
Okay, good.
Because it is truly amazing. I remember John and Andy and I sitting together and saying, you know, do you think it'll ever make it to the theaters? Will it even make it to DVDs? You know, we would kind of laugh, but truly we didn't know. And I am, you know, my friends call me Pollyanna. I'm the optimist of the group always, regardless of who's in the group. And I had no idea. In my wildest imagination, I never imagined what would happen with the film. Provident, who our distributor, just made an incredibly brilliant decision to have us open the same night as Hunger Games. And I remember thinking, wow, like I trusted them implicitly, and I truly mean that. I never doubted their decision, but in the back of my head, I thought, I don't know what's going on. And we opened opposite the Hunger Games on March 23rd of this year, 2012, and you know, every night we were watching Box Office Mojo to see how the film did. And by Monday, after 3 days in the theaters, they had announced that we were actually number eight. We were one of the top 10 movies of the weekend, nationally, and not just Christian movies or independent movies, but top 10 movies in the country. And one of the things that a lot of theaters and distributors and filmmakers look at is the per screen average. And our per screen average was third, after Hunger Games. So it was insane. And that catapulted us into a lot of secular media. What is this film making the top 10 list that none of us have ever heard of? And there was a very fast wave of criticism, but there was so much publicity. I mean, a cover story on the New York Times It was just amazing. And Henry Clay Frick said there's no such thing as bad publicity. And I think to a degree he is right, because it made so many people stand up and take notice of that film and publicize it for us. So it was just amazing. And then even in June, you know, if you're in our world of entertainment, the magazine Entertainment Weekly, it's kind of, you know, I don't want to be sacrilegious, but it's kind of our Bible. Like, I read it two or three times cover to cover every week. And just out of nowhere, in June, Entertainment Weekly lists the top 15 best performing films of the year. And October Baby's on that list. So the secular media just keeps talking about us. And it's just been incredible to have been able to make so many lists and do as well as we've done. And so I think I saw a report last week that they list all the Christian movies of all time. I think October Baby is 16 of all the Christian movies of all time. So the list just keeps getting generated, and they're incredible. But I will tell you, I'm since we just had a commercial break, I know I have time for a good long story. So here's another one. The
Go
night
for it.
Before the movie opened, I remember going to bed and just thinking, I can't wait to wake up tomorrow. My first, you know, feature film is opening tomorrow. And I woke up the next morning, and it was nothing like what I expected to wake up with, a little bit of pride or a little bit of ego, or just jump out of bed excited of what was about to happen to me that day. And instead, I woke up and just rolled from the bed onto the floor. My feet never touched the ground. My knees hit the ground first, and then I just laid flat on the floor and just began crying, because God had showed me the moment I woke up just a vision that gave me just phenomenal humility. You know, as I lay there on the floor sobbing the morning the movie opens, I felt God tell me, he said, there are so many people that you will never meet until you stand in heaven that will be affected by what you've done, what you've allowed me to do, what he's allowed us to do. And it just blew me away. It is a moment in my life I will never forget. And then sure enough, that night, the emails started coming in, the phone started ringing, you know, people we would see in the theaters just telling their stories of just how this movie gave them the opportunity to just talk about something for the very first time. And
wow.
It just blows my mind.
We serve a good God. We do have a caller who wants to talk with our guest, Cecil Stokes. So let's go to the phones, an anonymous caller from Georgia. And go right ahead, please. You're on Cradle My Heart Radio with Cecil Stokes.
Hi. I was just listening, and I don't probably listen to this radio station that much, but I just wanted to I'm very intrigued about this film, and I was one of the first three callers, so I will be elated to watch, and interested, very interested, because I had an experience similar to this myself when I was pregnant with my son, and I was going to abort him. But I made a conscious decision that I was going to have him, and I was going to deal with whatever, you know, the world was going to throw at me, because I already had a son, and they were very close together, so I really didn't want another child. But I ended up having him, and I tell him all the time, he's 18 right now, he just started college at Mercer University, and I tell him all the time, he is the light of my life. I could not imagine life without him. You know, and so I just wanted to share that.
Well, thank you, and we'll stay on the line, and we'll get the information so that you can get a copy of the DVD. Cecil, your comments?
Yeah. It warms my heart. It's amazing. One of the things I've loved about this film is so many people find their story in this film, whether they are a post-abortive woman, whether they survived a failed abortion, whether they've been adopted, whether they adopted someone else, parent-child relationships, everyone just seems to find themselves in this film. And I can't wait for this wonderful lady to watch this film. And I know her son is the light of her life, as she said. And I think this film will just be one more moment where she knows that the decision that she made was a decision to give him life, which is just amazing.
You know, Cecil, as I've been serving in post-abortion ministry for the last 10 years, it has always struck me that every story is so different, and it sounds as though you're saying the same thing. I mean, this gives people permission to share their stories with you, and there is no one monolithic story, is there?
There isn't. And it is amazing. And it's one of the things that I've learned. We started, the idea for this film was in 2009. So it's now been a 3-year journey. And truly, I only met a handful of people with these stories up until the movie came out this year. So I'm very new into that 6 months of a lot of these stories. But when I speak at film festivals or writers conferences, it's amazing. This is a story that I showed the film to maybe a couple of hundred people back in May. And the next few days at that conference, I had 6 different women come up to me who had never shared their story that they had had an abortion. And I was the first person they wanted to tell. And I could just see on their face, even in sometimes a quick discussion, just this burden be lifted. And then they were going to go call their husbands or their mother or, you know, to be able to talk to someone about it. And it just took that first step of seeing that movie. So it is amazing. And no, there are similarities to many of the stories. So many women feel shame and they have shoved it down so deep in their lives. Sometimes they don't even remember parts of the experience. And many of them think they have been forgiven and healed. And certainly they've been forgiven, but they may not have had the full healing. And I think you have to talk about it. You have to speak it to be able to get that full healing, to be able to keep moving forward.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, too, because we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with more with Cecil Stokes, our guest tonight on Cradle My Heart Radio. But part of what we're hoping to do with this program is give you an opportunity to talk to someone who cares. Because, as Cecil just said, it's an amazing thing to be able to say what happened in your life and to have someone care and not turn away, but to reassure you that God's love is real and that your healing is close at hand. Our number is 1-800-811-3003. We'll be back after a short break with more of your phone calls and with our guest, Cecil Stokes. I'm Kim Cattola. You're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Pastor Colin Smith with today's key for unlocking the Bible.
The last glimpse the
KTIS weather.
Warm weather, high winds, and storms for this week. This is your Faith 900 weather update. Tonight will be a nice night with clear skies and a high of 74. Monday and Tuesday will be a bit breezy with wind gusts up to 22 miles per hour and highs in the 80s and 90s. Wednesday has a chance for thunderstorms with a high of 73 degrees. This has been your weekend weather update.
Your computer is your bank, your photo album, your calendar, a social community, and your work office. As you juggle all your commitments, it can be your classroom too. A busy life doesn't need to stand in the way of a better life through a master's degree from Northwestern College. Flexible options include online courses and programs make it possible to further your education on your terms. Find out more at nwc.edu. That's nwc.edu. Northwestern College in St. Paul. Believe, learn, master.
Learn, grow, strengthen your faith here on Faith 900 KTIS.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
This is Kim Cattola, and our guest is Cecil Stokes, the producer of Cradle My Heart. Just a little bit of background, since this is our first broadcast, a little bit about myself, just to let you know that when I wrote the book Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, it was a reflection of the redemption in my life that has occurred now 11 years ago after an abortion that had happened 23 years prior to that. And during those long years, as some of them in the church as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, my heartache was so fresh and so debilitating at times that I didn't feel there was anyone that I could discuss it with, certainly not people that were advocates for abortion. And so as I've been reaching out to others, and as Cecil said earlier in the interview, if you're just joining us, God says, I'm bringing this out of your past. I think that was so aptly put, Cecil, because that is what God does for us. He comes to us in so many cases. We need someone to tell us that it's all right to share our story, that it's all right to seek forgiveness, that it's all right to reconcile, as we can do through Christ in this. But you mentioned some of the negative publicity, and I do want to give you a chance to talk with Cecil Stokes, the producer of the film October Baby. So our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003. Cecil, here's the lead from the New York Times review. It says, more slickly packaged than most faith-based fare, October Baby gussies up its anti-abortion message with gauzy cinematography and more emo music than an entire season of Grey's Anatomy. But not even a dewy heroine and a youth-friendly vibe can disguise the essential ugliness at its core. Like the bloodied placards brandished by demonstrators outside women's health clinics, the film communicates in the language of fear and guilt. That's from the New York Times review that appeared in March. Jeanette Katsoulis, I'm not sure how her name is pronounced. I mean, and the headline, obsessed by the circumstances of her birth. It's one of the most heartless reviews of a heartfelt movie. I mean, talk about the backlash. Talk about some of the ways that the film was characterized and what platform this has given you to help people,
Well, you know, to be honest, when that review came out, one of my friends posted it on my Facebook page. I thought, wow, you're a great friend posting this right on my Facebook page. It was the first time that I even read about it, but you know, when I read that article, I truly thought, I don't think this writer watched the film. Because there isn't an element at all of guilt in that film, and or fear. I was just baffled. And I think that has to come from the writer's heart. You know, when we watch movies, we put ourselves into the film. I felt very sorry for the person who wrote that article. It didn't affect me at all. But I was so happy that I think maybe 3 weeks later, the New York Times ran a second article that was very fair and very balanced. And in my opinion, it wasn't redeeming, but it was what the first article could have been. It was just a very truthful article. And even just the pieces that you read from the very first article, I laughed when you were reading it. There is truth in that we had more emo music than a full season of Grey's Anatomy. I mean, it's a beautiful soundtrack. And when I read that, it made me laugh. I thought, that's hilarious. There's truth in that.
Let's go to the phones. Anthony's listening in Griffin, Georgia. Imagine on New Life FM. Anthony, welcome to Cradle My Heart here. And go ahead with your question or comment for Cecil Stokes. Okay, I'm sorry. I just heard that Anthony is not there. So, Cecil, also, I don't want to stay on this negative thing, but I mean, if someone was just, you know, they heard about the movie, and so they went looking for some reviews. This was the subheadline of the piece on Slate magazine online, or slate.com, and it says, the movie's self-involved, career-minded biological mother doesn't reflect reality, but she fit a pro-life stereotype. So, I mean, wait a minute. Is that true? Does she remain throughout the entire movie self-involved and career-minded?
No, she doesn't. And the only time we hear that she could be selfish or self-involved and career-minded is when the nurse, who was her nurse in the abortion clinic, says this is what she told her. The two scenes that we meet the birth mother in, we can see she's a caring individual that's very surprised by her daughter's appearance. And then in the second scene that she's in at the end of the movie, she's sharing the story with her husband of a part of her past. And it's told without words, and he she hands him the note that she had gotten from her daughter, and he hugs her and he tells her that he loves her. And just in us showing the birth mother sharing her secret with her husband, who you can tell she had never shared it with, him reacting in love to her shows she's built an incredible marriage and she chose a great man. And they have a wonderful, open, communicating relationship. I think there's so much restoration in that, and it gives you so much hope for what her future may look like. I don't want to say I disagree with articles like The Slate that say things like that, but it all comes down to viewpoint. You know, when I watch movies, I put myself in them, and I laugh and I cry based on my own experiences or my own hopes and dreams. And I think when you read critical pieces, and when you read any movie review, you have to know it came from a human being, and they're putting themselves into it.
Mm-hmm. Cecil Stokes is our guest, and I wanted to give you a chance to just give you a reaction to that, because as a person reading some of these stories, particularly I don't know if you're talking about a different piece in the New York Times, but they wrote about Gianna Jessen. And
yeah.
Gianna Jessen is, share Gianna's story and how she may or may not be connected to the film, because, she characterizes herself as an abortion survivor, but the New York Times put that in quotes as though there's no such thing. So tell us about Gianna Jessen.
Gianna is actually the woman I was talking about earlier when I said that, I've become friends with some of these women. She's one of the women I became friends with. And even back from Memorial Day, I was in the city where she lives, and we had a big, barbecue and played games together and just had a lot of fun. So we have become friends. And she has an amazing story. The provider for the abortion that was to end her life chose a saline abortion, and she should have been burned, and she was not. She was not severely burned, and she feels like she believes that God protected her in the womb as he protected in the fiery furnace in the Bible. And it's an amazing story, and she does have cerebral palsy and has a limp. And hasn't let it stop her. She's performed in a circus. She's run marathons. She's just done amazing things to show that there are no limitations, when God chooses to use your life and you accept that choice. I know she's traveling, just from being on Facebook with her, I know she's traveling to Italy to sing with some incredible performers in Italy, which is one of her dreams. And she actually sings one of the songs in the October Baby movie, one of those emo songs that that we've been criticized for. When Hannah walks into the beautiful cathedral, there's a song called Ocean Floor, and it's just a beautiful song. It's almost a hauntingly beautiful song, and Gianna is the performer of that song. So even in the sounds of October Baby, you hear these women's stories, you hear their voices.
Well, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to introduce us to Gianna, because, again, if you just read some of the news coverage, it sounds as though she's an insincere profiteer. I mean, really, it sounds, they say that she's a paid anti-abortion speaker. That's a paid speaker at anti-abortion events is how the New York Times characterized her. And, well, that may be factually so, but there's a way, it's offensive to me that they would take a person who clearly was impacted, but, as you say, she has cerebral palsy. It's like the heartlessness is just really stunning to me.
She's really good at taboo. You don't want to play against her.
Okay. Cecil Stokes is our guest. He's the producer of the movie October Baby, and he has graciously provided a copy for our caller after this break. We're going to take a short break here, and please do call us at 1-800-811-3003. I promise you we will consider your call as sincere. We understand the challenges. Whether it's adoption, abortion, whether it's having been tempted to abort a child because the pressures were so great, this broadcast, this program, Cradle My Heart Radio, is a safe place for us to talk about these experiences. So call us now at 1-800-811-3003, and a DVD of October Baby is coming up for our next caller with a question or comment for our guest, Cecil Stokes.
Dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus. In the classic story, Old Man and the Sea, a fisherman is barely making a living, but one day he hooks a fish so large it will not fit in his boat. Later, his joy turned to despair. While towing the prized fish in, the other creatures of the sea had been feeding on it. There was nothing left but bones. This story is a mirror of our lives. We pursue what we think will give us fulfillment, but it turns out to be worthless. The Bible says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul?" Your soul is restless because you're separated from God. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for every wrong thing you've done. Through Jesus, you can find forgiveness and eternal life. To learn more, call 888-NEED-HIM. You've been so busy fishing for things that will never satisfy. Don't neglect your soul any longer. Call 888-NEED-HIM or visit needhim.org.
Faith 900 KTIS, Twin Cities, a place to connect your faith with life. Now, back live to Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola.
Gratitude is what comes to mind when I think of being alive, because I survived an abortion, so I shouldn't even be. I have the gift of cerebral palsy, and yet I'm not defined by my suffering. I am so filled with the knowledge of God's love for me. My life is sacred, and I'm defined by God. My life is beautiful.
That was audio from Gianna Jessen from the Every Life is Beautiful website, which is a partner or companion to the October Baby movie. And Cecil Stokes, the producer of October Baby, is our guest tonight here on Cradle My Heart. And we do have a copy of the DVD, which is not even released yet. You can't even buy a copy until Tuesday. But our number is 1-800-811-3003. And if you would like a copy, call us with a question or comment for our guest, Cecil Stokes, 1-800-811-3003. We'll ask for your information so we can get the DVD to you, but there's no need ever to give your name on this program, because we do understand that there are always privacy concerns when abortion is the topic. And I also want to say that if you're struggling after abortion and you feel you need immediate help, you can call that same number, and our crew will connect you with resources from Caring Ministries who are ready to hear from you tonight, live help at 24/7, and we'll refer you at 1-800-811-3003. Again, you will not have to give your name. Your call will be kept confidential. Cecil, part of the effort for the film is the Every Life is Beautiful campaign, and I'm so inspired by this. Help people understand what Every Life is Beautiful is all about.
It's the knowledge that every life is beautiful, and it's the lives that are saved when couples or women decide they may have an abortion and they decide not to. Those lives are beautiful. The lives that are lost to abortion are beautiful. The women who choose to have abortions, their lives are beautiful. And true, every life, every single one of us has beauty because we're God's creation. And it doesn't matter the sin in our past or what we think we've done wrong or where we've come from. When we have God in our lives, everything can be beautiful through Him. And that's what I think that website stands for, and the people that we've interviewed on it, and that there's a lot of personal stories on there. Every life is beautiful. I don't know how we can mistreat each other as a society when every life is beautiful.
And so when you visit the website, you find the testimonies of some of the people who are involved in the film, and you also meet people like Gianna Jessen, and the campaign is beautiful as well. It's really
well done. Thank you. Well, and one thing I wanted to say quickly, you know, one of our calls earlier that I think we maybe got disconnected was from a gentleman. And I just think I just want to point that out. You know, this is women. It certainly predominantly affects women. But at these conferences and film festivals and the emails we've gotten from a lot of men, too, couples who make the decision together to abort a child, or sometimes men find out about a choice that's been made after the fact. My heart certainly goes out to these women, because I can't imagine what they have gone through. But there's also a lot of men, I think, listening to your program who have been affected also.
Well, I think Anthony had called back. Anthony, are you there? Are you ready to join us on the show?
Yes, ma'am.
Great.
Yes.
Go ahead, please, for Cecil Stokes.
Yeah, I was going to say something about it. I'm glad y'all coming out with that film and everything, because it just shows some of these abortion clinics and some of the things people gave them that it could be a better way for the women to feel like they're under pressure, and it's going to be okay regardless. And I just think it's just a real good thing to give them another decision instead of having an abortion like that. And I think it's, the peer pressure what's caused a lot of that, but then again, it's okay, too. We all make errors, but it can heal.
Awesome. Thank you. Anthony, hold on, and we'll get you the copy of October Baby. I think what he says is really true, Cecil. There's peer pressure, and I like what he also said. There's a better way.
There is a better way. I feel very blessed with, I think, some of the sight that God has given me to this issue, and it is certainly a wonderful goal to get this out to crisis pregnancy centers and to women who are considering having an abortion to save the lives of those children in the future. But it is just, to me, we have 43 million women, excuse me, almost 50 million women in this country who have had abortions, and they need healing. And I equally hope that this film is for them, just to start that process of them talking to someone or listening to a program like yours. You know, this is an area that abortion for the last 39 years, I think, has been safely in the devil's corner, and he's had this curtain pulled in front of it. And your book and your radio program and this movie is pulling that curtain back and exposing the truth. And I just believe the future is very different than the past on this subject.
Was there a scripture or a particular spiritual concept that you kept as a compass as you were working your way through this project, Cecil?
There were certainly scriptures from the Bible that I think are part of the storyline. For me, the scripture that continually resonated in my head is, "For nothing is impossible with God," in Luke. This was our first feature film, even though I've done tons of, you know, programming for television and commercials and documentaries. This was our first feature film, and you just have to remind yourself, nothing is impossible with God. It's just amazing how there are so many of these stories that had not been told yet that we're able to start opening up the floodgates to tell. So that's a scripture that's just very close to my heart. And my life verse I chose when I was, I think, 13 or 14 years old is Psalm 30, verse 5. "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And I think that so applies to women who have had abortions, that, you know, there is joy, there is hope, there is beauty in their futures. Regardless of their past or what they're currently going through, there's joy coming.
Amen. Let's go back to the phones. Gary, you're on with Cecil Stokes. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Kim. Hi, Kim and Cecil. My wife and I have been wondering, with these babies that survive attempted abortion, does the mother know what happens to the baby? Does it stay with the mother? Does it go to foster care? It's something we know nothing about.
Cecil, how common is this? Maybe that's not the proper question. When this circumstance arises, I understand it, this is part of, this may be more common because of the Infant Born Alive Act, fairly recent legislation, but what happens when a child survives a late-term abortion?
I can only speak to the people that we interviewed, and the dominant thing for the people that we interviewed is they did go into orphanages or to adoption agencies or foster care. I don't remember talking to any women who were actually raised by their birth mother. But that's as far as my knowledge on this subject goes.
So, yeah, I think generally what happens is they are placed for adoption or maybe are placed into foster care until an adoptive family can be found. I know the dramatic testimony of Jill Stanek, who's a strong supporter for life, who was working as a nurse in a Christian hospital and wasn't aware that her hospital's policy was that if infants were born alive, they were not to be nurtured. They were to be allowed to die if the mother had been intending to abort. And she was, you know, she took a stand against that, and it led to legislation, the Infant Born Alive Act, so that that's no longer legal. And I think abortion survivor Melissa Oden has been involved with trying to, you know, help raise awareness that that was a policy that Senator Obama voted against numerous times. We don't really have a political focus on this program, but, you know, just to answer Gary's question, we can be informed on this issue, and you might be surprised to learn what some of the policies are.
That's very true.
So, Cecil, we just have about 5 minutes left, and I guess if you, you know, here's your chance to invite people to some understanding that you have gained in this whole process of meeting the people whose stories are represented in October Baby, and of being a person who has a very successful career as a producer, you know, in all kinds of media, television, films, DVDs. What's been the big takeaway for you? How has this changed your approach to what it is that you do in your vocation?
You know, in TV, you can show a pause by the person's face. You can't do that in radio.
That's okay.
That question certainly gives me pause. This is not a plug for a future endeavor, because I don't want to mention the names of anything. But I was given the opportunity, based on someone seeing October Baby, who owns a television network, to do a 10-episode series that is going to premiere on the web in January. And the premise of our show is we found five women who have had abortions, and they are going through a Bible study on healing for 8 weeks. And we've shot 8 of 10 episodes, and I have gained so much more understanding getting to know these women and being with them for the last 3 months than I even gained on October Baby. That was just the beginning of telling this story. And this web series is next, and I have no idea what story comes after that, but it is something that I was thrilled and humbled at the reception that October Baby received. But I remember the very first day that we shot the first episode of this healing Bible study for post-abortive women, I was almost numb. The entire crew cried alongside the women as we shot that episode all day. And I came home and thought, I can't handle anything. I'm just going to lie down on my couch. And maybe half an hour into just lying there and trying to process everything that had happened that day, I felt God say to me, when I created you in the womb, this was one of the days that I created for you.
Wow.
And knowing that it was his plan for me to be able to share these stories and help unborn children and women who have already made the decision affected me like nothing that I can compare it to. And it did give me an incredible boost spiritually for my career, that I know that I am doing what I was created to do.
Hmm.
So that for me is what has just been amazing.
A beautiful,
it has grown my capacity to love people
beautiful.
So much more than it had ever been in my life before.
Wow. Cecil Stokes, thank you. And I love that your verse that you mentioned from Luke, of course, was spoken by the angel to set the stage for Elizabeth and Mary in their pregnancies, their unexpected pregnancies. Cecil Stokes, God bless you, and thank you so much for being our guest. And thank you for providing copies of the DVD of October Baby, which is released generally on Tuesday, September 11th. Cecil, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
Now, if you are struggling after abortion, again, you can still call 1-800-811-3000 to be referred to resources. Next week, our guests here on live on Cradle My Heart Radio, Reverend Walter Hoy and his wife, Lori. Reverend Hoy has taken a strong stand as an advocate for the women of Oakland, California and beyond who need help because of the pressing need for healing in the African-American community after abortion. Join us next Sunday night at this same time on this same station for Cradle My Heart, and you can learn more online at cradlemyheart.org. I'm Kim Cotola. Good evening.